Now the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, No. They said therefore unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there hath stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me. The latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 19th century, my dear faithful, there lived a priest in Italy whose name is famous throughout the Catholic world. This was St. John Bosco, or Don Bosco, as he is so often called. This great saint became so famous for his fantastic results with abandoned boys, so much so that boys from all Italy were sent to him. To help him in his work, God would make known to Don Bosco many things by means of dreams, as Don Bosco in his humility called these revelations from God. They are not dreams like ours, empty imaginations that we produce ourselves and have no real meaning. Instead, Don Bosco's so-called dreams were indeed from God, and thus they contained so many accurate prophecies, astounding truths of the present, and revelations of the hidden past. These began even when he was young. When St. John Bosco was about 9 years old, he had his first dream. In it, he found himself in a field near his home. It was filled with a crowd of boys who were playing and having fun, but a good number were using foul language. Immediately, young John Bosco leapt into the midst of the crowd, and like most boys, thought to solve the problem with fists swinging wildly and shouting at them to stop using foul language. We have to remember that he was not the saint just yet. Now, at that moment, a man appeared. He wore a white flowing mantle and had a manly and imposing bearing, as Don Bosco described him later. What was most remarkable about this man was that his face radiated such light that John could not look directly at him. This man called John by name and told him to place himself as the leader of these boys, adding, You will have to win these friends of yours not with blows, but with gentleness and kindness. So begin right now to show them that sin is ugly and virtue beautiful. The little boy John was confused and answered that he was just a boy, that he didn't know what to say to these boys about religion. While he gave this explanation, though, John realized that the fighting, shouting, cursing had stopped, and the boys had gathered around the man who was talking. John, even more confused now, asked, "But how can you order me to do something that looks so impossible?" "What seems so impossible," the man said, "you must achieve by being obedient and by acquiring knowledge." "But where, how?" the boy asked. "I will give you a teacher under whose guidance you will learn, and without whose help all knowledge becomes foolishness." Then appeared a lady of majestic appearance, standing beside the man. She too wore a beautiful mantle. It glowed as if bedecked with stars. Seeing John's confusion, this lady beckoned to him, took him by the hand, and told him, "Look." John turned away from her, back to the crowd of boys, and found there was not a single boy left now. In their place were all kinds of animals, goats, dogs, cats, bears, and a variety of others. "This is your field," the lady told him. "This is where you must work." Then she began to explain how he must prepare to do his work. "Make yourself humble, steadfast, and strong. And what you will see happen to these animals, you will have to do for my children." John looked again and found the animals transformed once more, for they had changed into a flock of gentle lambs. These lambs bleated a welcome for the man and the lady and crowded around them. At each of these new transformations, though, the young boy John became more and more confused. By now, he was completely bewildered. And so, being just a boy, he began to cry. And then he begged the lady to explain what all this meant. She placed her hand on his head and reassured him with, "In due time, everything will be clear to you." With that, St. John Bosco's first of his many prophetic dreams ended. This was the dream that started him on his mission to work amongst boys, and in this way to save many, many souls. A mission very similar to that of St. John the Baptist. For both St. John the Baptist and St. John Bosco, both had the mission to lead souls to our Lord. This mission is what St. John the Baptist was referring to when he told the Pharisees, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." The Pharisees had asked St. John the Baptist who he was and where he received his authority to preach and baptize. To answer them, the Baptist quoted this prophecy from Isaiah. In this way, St. John announced that he was the precursor of the Christ, the one chosen by God to prepare mankind for the public life of our Savior. He called all to make straight the way of the Lord in their hearts, that is, to prepare themselves for the coming and preaching of Christ. "Do penance," he preached, that is, mortify yourselves. Practice self-sacrifice and turn from the things of the world so that your heart will be cleaned of the clutter of the love of earthly things. Free from this, the soul would be well prepared to learn the teachings of Christ and to leave all things and follow him. That was the vocation of St. John the Baptist, and so it was that of St. John Bosco. Both were chosen by God to show to souls by both word and action how good our God truly is, and how they must lead their lives to please God and thus save their immortal souls. As I said, that was the mission that each of these great saints was called to. But you know, my dear faithful, each of us has that same mission as well. We too are to lead others to Christ. No, we did not have a miraculous calling like these two great St. Johns. Instead, our calling to help souls was given to us at our baptism. By the very fact of our being Catholics, we are to lead souls to Christ. Now, this does not mean that we must do anything extraordinary. We do not need to. In fact, we should not. Stand on the street corner and preach the word of God. Instead, we fulfill our mission of leading souls to God by giving good example. As our Lord told Don Bosco in his dream, show them that sin is ugly and virtue beautiful. By the very fact of our striving to be good Catholics, we will do this. We will give this good example to our neighbor. For myself, one person especially comes to mind when thinking of good example, and that is my grandfather. In my family, my grandfather was the one who realized that something was going wrong in the Catholic Church. He first realized this when his daughter learned at school from an Ursuline sister that Adam and Eve didn't really exist. That was just a made-up story. It didn't really happen. That led my grandfather to search out for, to find, and begin attending the traditional Latin Mass. Now, the church was an hour away, and so that meant an hour drive both ways each Sunday. Something many traditional Catholics have experienced. My grandfather ignored this difficulty, put it up as part of carrying his cross after Christ, and routinely went to Mass with his family. I bring all this up because I would almost certainly not be here right now, preaching this sermon, saying this Mass, if my grandfather did not have that determination to do everything to lead a good Catholic life. His good example led his wife, his daughters, and now his dozens of grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be traditional Catholics. That, my dear faithful, is the power of good example. And it is just a natural part of being a good Catholic. As Father Garrigou Lagrange, an eminent theologian of this past century, tells us, it is never by chance that two immortal souls meet, be it that they are each in the state of grace, or that one only has the divine life, and can by its prayer, its attitude, its example, bring back the other to the right road which leads to eternity. To put this more simply, God arranges every event of our lives, including every meeting we have with another person. And every one of these events has a purpose and eternal consequences. When we meet another, then by our prayers, our attitude, our example, we are to help our neighbor to save his immortal soul. What you say, what you do, how you act, this will have eternal consequences, both for you and your neighbor. You can either lead him up to lead a better life, or what you fail to say, what you fail to do, how you fail to act, these can lead him down. When we fail to live up to our Catholic faith publicly, we do give scandal to our neighbor. Scandal can result from any word or deed or omission that is evil in itself or has the appearance of evil, and that can be the occasion of spiritual damage to another. There are two types of scandal, one direct and the other indirect. Direct scandal is deliberately trying to induce another to commit sin. Indirect scandal, on the other hand, is performing words and actions or omissions that may easily urge another to commit sin, though we do not intend to lead that person to commit the sin. Whether we abstain from meat on Friday, or go to Mass on Sunday, or even the little things such as being charitable, patient, and kind, in our words and actions, each of these public deeds will show our neighbor how much the Catholic faith means to us, and thus how much the Catholic faith should mean to him, our neighbor. A good Catholic, by the very fact of being a good Catholic, shows others that sin is ugly and virtue beautiful, as our Lord told St. John Bosco to do in his dream. By Don Bosco's good example, he converted the animals that many of those boys were that he worked with to lambs, good innocent lambs in the flock of Christ. Of course, we will at times find it hard to do the good, and that is why, as St. John Bosco did, we too must have Our Lady as our guide and pray to her for strength. At times it will be difficult to know exactly what to say or to do, and for this we must pray for light. Remember that what you do before others will have an effect on them. Remember your duty to these souls, and that you'll be judged for any harm, and blessed for any good that you do to them. Recall these eternal consequences, and let it urge you on to lead a good Catholic life. And, my dear faithful, at the beginning of each day, pray to Our Lady. Ask her to be your guide throughout the day. Beg her for the light to know what to do and for the strength to do it. In this manner, you will help lead souls to Christ and to eternal happiness in heaven. This is your mission as a Catholic. This is your responsibility. The salvation of other souls does depend on you, whether you realize it or not at that moment. Help them, and these souls you lead to heaven will be your eternal glory. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.